Hey everyone, thanks for joining us for our episode today entitled Road to Repayment. My name is Jamie Hayden and I'm the Director of Financial Aid at Berkeley Haas. Also joining me today is my colleague Bobby Reyes, who will help facilitate today's session. Today's episode will discuss key aspects to consider when preparing for student loan repayment. And now I'll pass it over to Bobby for this week's announcements.
Thanks, Jamie. This week's announcement, we wanted to share that we have a new resources page on our financial aid website. And all the resources that you'll find on there, you'll find our previous podcast episodes. So if you missed any of them, like the continuing student scholarship ones or the 0% interest rate ones, you want to listen to them back, they'll all be uploaded on our website. We also have uploaded there as our financial literacy series recording on tools to build your wealth. We had that series happen a couple of weeks ago with Carrie Milligan of Merrill Lynch. So if you missed the Zoom call and you weren't there on tools to build your wealth, you can find that recording there. And we have also a couple other calculators that may be of use to you if you're trying to figure out repayment. So check out the resources page because there'll be a lot of good stuff for you all there. Next in our announcements, the big date we wanted to throw out is May 14th. And that is the continuing student scholarship that closes on May 14th at 11:59 p.m. So you have about a couple weeks to get that scholarship in. The application. And so students can access this continuing student scholarship by visiting the scholarship section on our website at Haas Financial Aid Office website listed as a drop down under the tab of your program and selecting the application link. Please note that these scholarships are only for full-time MBA and evening weekend MBA students entering the second or third year of their program. So full-time MBA, evening weekend MBA that are continuing, that is, scholarship is for you. Decisions will be released on June 1st, and then you should be, if you are selected, you should see your award in your Cal Central on June 1st as well. So if you are selected for that, keep an eye out on your Cal Central on June 1st. Most awards will be applied for the fall 2020 and the spring 2021 term, in case you're wondering when those will be applied. And there are some awards actually that will pay out in the spring of 2020, and those details will also be visible in your Cal Central. For more information on that, on your continuing student scholarship application, we have a whole podcast episode. You can find it in our resources page. That's podcast episode number 4, in case you want to run that back and give a listen. In our newsletter this week, we also wanted to share with you that we will have more information on COVID-19 financial support. So be on the lookout in your email for our newsletter about that. And then if you have any outstanding payments, agreements that you need to sign for next year, any outstanding tasks in Cal Central, make sure you go in and take care of that. We know that we have a few weeks left in this term for our students. And so it's just kind of tying up the loose ends. So make sure you go into your Cal Central and make sure you get any outstanding tasks done, any balances that you need to pay off, or any other assigned tasks. Our team, again, is still telecommuting in an effort in response to COVID-19, but we are still available to support our Haas community Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. via email and through scheduled phone consultations. Those are our announcements for this week, and now we're going to get into our main segment on Road to Repayment. Now, I'm really excited about this segment in particular because no one really wants to talk about it, and I want to talk about it. People can shy away when it comes to debt. It doesn't matter what kind of debt, right? If it's student loan debt, if we're talking credit card debt. And I think it's super important that we empower and we educate our community, right, to make better decisions for themselves based on their situation and not be afraid and shy away from it. So taking responsibility and feeling empowered to be like, hey, I have a plan and I got this. So we are going to unpack this road to repayment, and Jamie is going to help me with this. So we're going to dive right in. So Jamie, my first question for you, is what happens to my student loans once I graduate?
Right. So for our students who are currently enrolled in 6 or more units, you are in a in-school status currently. And then once you graduate, the registrar's office will update this National Clearinghouse database, and this information will be transferred to your lenders, and you will then enter a grace period. A grace period is a set amount of time in which you are not responsible for making any payments. For most loans, your grace period is 6 months. So this is true for federal loans and for most private loans. Private loans, however, can vary. I've seen them be as few as 3 months, depending on the program that you're enrolled in, or up to 9 months. So if you have a private loan, you want to connect with your lender and confirm the grace period length, and that will help set you up for success and determine what to expect. For federal loan borrowers, again, 6 months grace period, meaning you do not need to make any payments upon graduation for up to that 6 month period. Please note, however, and this would be most applicable for our evening and weekend students probably, but if there was a term where you withdrew from the program or you enrolled in less than 6 units, you may have utilized some of your grace period. So let's say you did have 6 months, and for maybe a fall term, you were enrolled in less than 6 units. You may have eaten up maybe 3 months or so of your grace period. So you want to confirm what's remaining also, if that was a scenario that you encountered, so that you can plan accordingly. You don't want to be surprised and assume 6 months is still remaining when maybe you already utilized some of that. So you definitely want to confirm some of that information as well.
No, that's some really great advice, I think, because a lot of people are familiar with the 6 months. But what we don't want to happen, right, is if one of our students have utilized some of that grace period and they really think, you know, they have a full 6 or 9 months, but they use some of it and they only have maybe 2 or 3. And so they're caught off guard. So make sure you figure out, you know, where you're at. If you have the full 6, if you're cut short, so that way you know how to plan ahead. Are there any actionable steps once a student needs to graduate after?
Right. Well, like you mentioned, Bobby, I think when people talk about money for many of them, and especially debt, it can have a lot of anxiety, which means that a lot of students can put off kind of just the thought of repayment or the reality of payments. So what I think for many of our students, what they need to do now is get organized. And so what that means is if you have federal loans, you need to determine who your servicer is. The lender is the person that dispersed the monies to the institution and whom you most likely applied with if you had a private loan. However, you most likely are going to be dealing with a separate company who is now the servicer of your loan, and that's who you're going to be coordinating your repayment with. For the federal government, they have a contract with, I think it's currently 15 different companies, so you want to figure out what company you will be working with. Most likely you've received some correspondence from your servicer, but you may not have recognized it as legitimate or paid it much attention. So upon graduation, this is when you need to start recognizing this information. So how do you figure this out? So for federal loan borrowers, you can go to studentaid.gov, studentaid, all one word, .gov, G-O-V. And there you can determine who the servicer is for your federal loans. For the private loans, sometimes the same company is going to service the loans, but not always. So again, check with your private lender to determine and confirm who the servicer is. You want to do this so that one, you can start identifying important communications from them, but you want to take a couple more action steps. One, when you determine who your servicer is, you want to log in onto their website and create your online account. This is going to streamline the process of managing your repayment and ensure that you can keep up-to-date information and stay in good graces with your loans. So what you want to do when you get there is you're going to want to make sure your address is up to date. It probably reflects an address that was true upon the application or when you signed your master promissory note, which may no longer be valid, or you could be in transition right now. So when you settle in, you want to make sure your most up-to-date information is there and your contact information. One of the biggest problems I think students have is not knowing where to go or who to contact when making payments, and the reverse is true. The servicer not being able to contact the borrower. So you want to make sure that you eliminate those hurdles. The next thing you want to do is you want to confirm what the repayment start date is and the amount of your expected payments. For some students, maybe they see that this is not an accurate date, or maybe it's different than what they thought. Knowledge is power in finances, and you need to make sure that you understand exactly what to expect and when. And then lastly, really, really important to do, maybe not an action item to take at this time, but to know that it's a possibility and you need to mark to explore it. So ACH, automatic payments through the clearinghouse. This is an option that will not only streamline the repayment process for you and take away the responsibility of having to schedule a payment individually every month, you can set up auto payments through ACH with your lender. And for the federal loans, you would then be entitled to a 0.25% interest rate reduction for signing up for ACH. Many private lenders also match this incentive as well. The reason why I say you may not want to take this action immediately, normally I tell my students to do it as soon as they update their contact information so that you don't miss out on this opportunity and potential interest rate reduction. That being said, I believe right now many, I know the federal loan servicers and maybe even some of the private, because of COVID-19, have done what's called an administrative forbearance, and they have removed people from ACH so that they are not subject to those auto payments at this time. So my fear is you can go in maybe tomorrow, activate ACH only for it to maybe be inactive and then forgetting to go and activate it again. So it's something that you need to mark on a to-do, but I don't know that you need to do it right now, but you need to take advantage of it once you enter repayment.
Gotcha. But that's really great advice, especially when we're talking about setting up the account and what are some things to look for. When I was paying my student debt, right, I could see in my servicer's website that there were two different amounts. One was a prepaid interest account or amount, and then there was the principal amount of my loan. Do you have any advice on prepaying interest?
Right. That's a great point. So for people with federal loans, this is what you should expect to see, what Bobby has seen in your loan servicer site. So you'll see the interest has been accruing and it's off to the side. It is not, has not been capitalized, and it will not be capitalized until you enter repayment. This is not the case for private loans. So we're talking specifically about federal loan borrowers right now. So when you see that the interest that's been accumulating, if you have the ability to do so, you should prioritize paying off the interest or reducing the interest as much as possible prior to entering repayment. When you enter repayment, that interest will be capitalized, meaning that it's going to be added to the principal loan amount, creating a new loan amount in which interest will then be accruing. So in order for you to maintain that principal borrowing amount as it truly was when you signed all your promises to repay, we suggest prepaying the interest. On that note, we'll just say also for any of the loans, there are no prepayment penalties on student loans. So you do not need to be concerned with that. Student loan debt is actually some of the most flexible debt you'll probably ever have. But there are no prepayment penalties. But again, we suggest, I know these are difficult times, but we definitely suggest if possible, again, to reduce or pay off the interest of federal loans before you enter repayment.
That is actually really great advice. I wish I knew that before I started paying my loans. That's why it's so important, right, to talk about the experts that can kind of help us. And so it is advantageous for our students to pay off the interest before. So if you have the means to do it and you saved a little bit for your loans, to definitely go ahead and take care of that. That's really, really great advice. Another thing that we actually talked about this, Jamie, about the 0% interest and the means of refinancing. Is it a good time to refinance your student loans after you graduate?
Right. This is such a unique time. I have such a good spiel on, you know, refinancing and managing your debt upon graduation. It's just a little bit of an unknown time right now. I think a couple things still hold true. So one thing is refinancing is for people who are not, if they have federal loans specifically, are not interested in any of the various repayment plans that are offered through federal loans or the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, which forgives any remaining debt after 10 years of payments on your federal loans while in qualifying employment, which would be public interest nonprofit work. We have a very few students who have been interested in this historically. So for most of our students, if they had federal loans, they're willing to forgo those options and simply try to lock in a lower financing cost. So if this is true for you, granted, you need to assess your current employment status, your career goals, the economy, what is right for you and what feels good to you. So if you're interested in locking in the lowest interest rate, understanding though that the current interest rate on federal loans is zero. And that is due to the student loan relief programs that have been implemented through the CARES Act for COVID-19. And this interest rate on federal loans is subject for implementation through September 30th. After September 30th, we expect interest rates to go back to what they were for the academic year. So for federal loans for the current year is 6% and 7%. However, it's uncertain, right? Or at least I feel uncertain in whether or not anything will be extended or what we'll look like for May 2020 grads. So I think what we really need to do is if you have federal loans that are currently at zero, maybe you don't need to refinance right now. Maybe you need to wait and see what's going on and then later take advantage of refinancing. I think that's the best thing. I think it's a little bit of a holding pattern right now while we try to find out more information.
Yeah, that's the other question, right? Is like, let's say I don't refinance right now, then when is a good time to refinance is also the other part of it. Gotcha.
Yeah, no, I think so. In general, as a rule of thumb, when you refinance loans, you enter repayment immediately. So for students who are wanting to take advantage of their grace period, say it is a 6-month grace period, my general guidance is to wait until month 5, allowing you 1 month to go through the administrative process of securing refinancing. That would be my general topic or my general advice to students on this topic. That being said, I think the best thing to do at this point would to reconvene. And so we will have a part 2, Bobby, of this podcast that will go live the first week of September because I want to give an update. I think at that point we'll know if there will be any extenuations in the CARES Act for different relief programs, or if there's been new parts of this added for our graduates. I know there's a lot of talk. There's still a lot of things being debated and discussed. So in the first week of September, let's reconvene, listen to part 2, and let's figure out what's going on. I think there's still going to be people that want to lower their interest rate, you know, secure it for the life of the loan at a lower rate. And they also might be anxious about what refinance might look like in the future. I definitely have been doing this long enough to see products from lenders like refinancing go in and out based on the marketplace. And I do anticipate to see some change in the refinancing market. I don't think it's immediate though, but I think that there will be some. I think we have time to wait until September and you can continue to take advantage of the 0% interest rate in your grace period. But I understand that some people, anxiety is running high and they want to take advantage. And if you do want to take advantage sooner than later and secure a rate as soon as possible that's lower than the lifetime rate for the federal loans, you need to just be cognizant that once you complete the refinancing process, you most likely are going to enter repayment immediately.
Yeah. And that's good to know. See, there are all these nuances, right?
Right.
We read all the headlines about zero interest rates, relief funds, and just stimulus. And so there are all these nuances to be aware of. So that's really great. So if you do decide to refinance, just know that the clock begins for you to start making payments. So if you are prepared for that and you have saved for that, or you are making money and you can pay towards that, like just be aware that this payment is going to begin after you refinance. And that's great that we can unpack that because it's just like it's headlines that make us attractive. Right. And then we break the details down because not everything is as, you know, glamorous, or it's not just free money, you know.
Correct.
So understanding the nuances behind just the new changes, I guess, during this time. What are some tools where a student can determine if refinancing would be advantageous?
Mm-hmm. Right. So I identified a few years ago a couple different kind of search engines, if you will, for refinancing products. These will allow you to plug in your personal information. And remember, when you're trying to decide about refinancing, one, you want to decide, like we already mentioned, you want to forego maybe any of the benefits that are associated with the federal loans in anticipation of locking in a lower interest rate. But then you also need to see if this is going to be beneficial for you in your scenario. What really drives an interest rate quote for a refinancing product is going to be your current income level and your credit score. So if those two things are high or higher than they have been, this might be an advantageous route for you refinancing. And so a couple of different tools that I've discovered, and I validated these a couple of days ago as well, again, is NerdWallet as well as Student Loan Hero. These are two kind of, again, refinancing tools that are accessible. They're free. We are not being reimbursed for talking about these or supporting these, but we just want to provide you with some tools that may be helpful to you. When I searched and put in my own information for these tools, I saw that the same companies are being referenced for the most part in the results, three of which I know that our students are routinely using for student loans. So I feel like you can feel confident in looking at some of these results and then working from there. But the calculator will help determine if it may, if refinancing could yield you a lower rate than what you already have.
Gotcha. So NerdWallet, Student Loan Hero. This is not an ad. These are just vetted resources by our director and financial aid. So take a look at those. And asking from trying to get a little bit of more insight, right, and with all this going on, when can students expect more information regarding the relief programs for student loan borrowers? Like, is there anything that you know that we can share about, you know, what's to be expected in right. between now and September, pretty much?
I have seen there's so many things, so many things being said and discussed and proposed. It's so unknown. So the reason why I also pause and say that we have to revisit this in September is that I do expect, one, if the current relief program that exists is going to be extended, we should know by then. But I am very cognizant that there are lots of different types of programs that are being discussed. So I've seen things saying suspending payments for May 2020 grads for a number of years. I've seen all kinds of different things. And again, as Bobby mentioned, these things oftentimes sound amazing, but it's really about the details, right? What happens to the interest if your payments are being postponed for that number of years? Is it capitalized? If not, when will it be capitalized? There's so many things we need to know about. And for some of our students, you know, we're in a unique little niche. Many of our MBA graduates will go on to do great things and may not need to take advantage of postponing payments. It really depends on the details. If some things like that are implemented. So again, I think the best that I can guess is that we'll know by September some more information. And even if we don't know at that time, we'll give you an update of when we expect more things to be ironed out. But literally things are being implemented and details updated daily right now during COVID-19. And we want to not only share what those details are with you, but then let's talk about it. Because again, maybe if you have a 0% interest rate and payments postponed for a number of years, you want to prepay your loans anyways and get rid of your debt. Or some people may want to use those funds, invest those in other areas, those other financial buckets we talked about. So everything, again, is personal, but you have to have the right knowledge in order to make those decisions for yourself. So we want to try to, again, be partners with you in that. And so, again, come back in September and we'll try to give you the best update we have.
Gotcha. That's good advice. Thank you. My last question is basically, in general, how can students determine how much to put towards their loan repayment and then other financial obligations, right? Because we have students that have accrued credit card debt or thinking about a down payment for a home, retirement and savings. So is there any advice on how much to put in each bucket per se right now?
Yeah, no. And there are a lot of buckets. So we have students, our students oftentimes are coming from working professionals back to a student lifestyle and then returning back to the workforce. So many of our students have started and also many of our students have families. So many different financial goals that our students are considering or facing. Some people are just starting to think about financial goals and some students are well on their way to a plan for their financial goals. There is no one fit answer for everybody. These are completely personal decisions. And again, based on where you are in your life and what is important to you. So things, again, that people are always trying to balance is retirement, savings for an emergency, down payment for a home, eliminating or reducing debt. These are some of the things that students are constantly trying to figure out. And in my experience, I think that the ratios in which you disperse your monies changes depending on where you are in your life. Some people are super regimented and this has been true for them. Their financial goals and how their money is allocated has been true from the moment they graduated undergrad. to, you know, when they're going to be retired. But for some of us, it's more fluid. So I think just being honest with yourself, sitting down, looking at your budget once you return back to the workforce and you're not a student anymore, and then again, deciding short-term, mid-range, and long-term goals. But that's all very theoretical, but to get some real more tangible advice, as Bobby mentioned, we had the Tools to Build Our Wealth financial literacy session about a week ago, I think it was, Bobby. And you mentioned we do have the recording on our resources page. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yep. So I think that's a great tool. Go there. Again, Kelly Milligan is there talking from Merrill Lynch. And I personally have found the session to be a great resource. Even as a parent, we're talking about 529 plans, just different things to be considering. And I think it's a great resource. There's other resources out there on the web, obviously. But again, the biggest takeaway is it's personal. So you need to identify what the buckets are and then what is important to you and what's tangible in the, again, short-term, mid-range, and long-term goals.
Yeah, 100%. That session, the Tools to Build Your Wealth recording, I was even like blown away. I learned a lot from there too. So if you have the time, because we do talk about different just vehicles that are advantageous mm-hmm. when, you know, you're talking about, you know, building wealth for your family and for yourself. So definitely check that out on the resources page. Jamie, thank you so much for breaking some of this stuff down, because we have a lot of people interested and that are in this situation upon graduating. So it's not just about, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty, right, with classes and just other things, but also looking into the future, we still have to be held accountable for, you know, debt. So being able to kind of break this down is super helpful. So thank you for helping us go through Road to Repayment.
Absolutely.
And we just want to remind you in closing that if you are a continuing student, right, you're not graduating and not thinking about repayment just yet, even though you start. The continuing student scholarship application does close on Thursday, May 14th at 11:59. I strongly encourage everybody to get their application in before the deadline, because sometimes what happens is that the system crashes and there's too many people all at one time. And let me tell you, folks, technology only works when it works how it should. So there are a lot of people in at the same time, maybe may not get your application in. So make sure you get that done ahead of time before 11:59. Also, be on the lookout for our newsletter this week for more information about COVID-19 and financial support that could be available to you and extra details for that. And as always, please reach out if you have any questions concerning your financial aid and where you stand. You can make an appointment on our financial aid website, and that is www.haas.berkeley.edu/financial-aid. Or you can send us an email. We are available Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. So let us know how we can support you. So thank you so much for everyone for listening in on our episode on Road to Repayment. Very timely, very important, so that you can feel empowered and educated to make the right decisions for your financial investment and for your future. We will be back next week with more information and with a new episode. But until then, stay safe and be well from your financial aid office at Haas. See you guys. Thank you.